I want to encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. We'll be reading a portion of that chapter as we continue this series, Stand. And we've looked at a variety of things that the Scripture calls us to stand for and to stand with and to stand firm and be stand courageously. Today we're going to talk about standing with and who you stand with. And we come to a passage of Scripture in Paul's life. It's his last written words that we have for us. And you're very familiar with what comes early in chapter 4, because that's the passage of Scripture where Paul says to preach the word, be faithful in season and out of season. The time's going to come when people won't put up with sound doctrine. So Timothy, stand firm. And then a lot of times at funeral messages, we'll look at this particular passage that you're very familiar with. He goes, I'm now ready to be laid out as a drink offering. I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. And now there's now laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will give to me, and not only to me, but to all who loved his appearing. A wonderful promise. But I think in probably our Bible readings that we have a tendency to kind of skim over these last words that Paul has, because they have a bunch of names there that it's a little bit hard to pronounce, and it seems a little bit choppy because he's just mentioning this person and this situation and this one here. But I think that there are some real truths that we need to know where Paul was telling his son in the faith, Timothy, you've got the right doctrine. You're going to stand firm. You're going to be courageous. You're going to build that life of character in your life. But understand this, Timothy. Our faith is lived out in relationship with others. Your relationship with God and your relationship with others. And you are going to encounter some hurts in those relationships. And you're going to encounter some incredible blessings in those relationships. And my final words to you, my son in the faith, is that our faith is about the relationship that you have with God and the ones that you form with others. Because who you stand with is going to determine to a great extent the person you end up being. Would you stand with me as we honor God's word? I'm going to begin reading at verse 9 from the New Living Translation. Writing to Timothy, Paul writes, please come to me as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me. I sent Tychius to Ephesus. And when you come, be sure to bring the coat I left with Carpus at Troas and bring my books, especially my papers. Verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith has done me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done. Be careful of him, for he fought against everything that we said. The first time I was brought before the judge, no one was with me. Everyone abandoned me, and I hope it will not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength that I might preach the good news in all its fullness for all the Gentiles to hear. And he saved me from certain death. Yes, the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 19. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila and those living at the household of Onesiphorus. By the way, however I say these names, that's the way you pronounce them at that time, okay? All right. The word of God is living and active, however I say it, okay? Erastus stayed at Corinth. I left Trophimus sick at Miletus. Hurry so you can get here before winter. Eubulus sends you greetings, as do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. May the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Father, we come before you. And Lord, that's what I pray for your people right now over this church, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be with their spirit. And that what flows out of that spirit would be grace upon everyone. Now, Father, in order for that to happen, we need to stand firm in our convictions. We need to act courageously. It takes courageous people to forgive when hurt, to lead with grace, And as we stand over time, that character of Christ is built in our life. And it happens when we get involved in the community you've called us to and you placed us in, what you call the body of Christ, the church. I'm thankful that we can know today that the Lord is standing with us and calls us to stand with the other ones that have been called by God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, said, "Two are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But one who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Two are even better, three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." I would remind you that in the order of creation, the first thing that God said was not good was that man should be alone. And when God wanted to address the aloneness of man, he didn't tell Adam, "I'll tell you what, I'll come down in the morning, noontime, and evening, and I'll give you more of me." And I would suggest to you that God, our one God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is a God who lives in community. And we have been called into the community of Christ, the church, and he expects us to live in community as well, and it reflects his nature. We see this throughout the Bible. Just a couple scriptures that I would add to it is Proverbs 13:20. "Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and you get into trouble. Who you stand with determines the kind of person you're going to be." In fact, I heard a long time ago, the level of your success will greatly be determined by the people that you surround yourself with. I find it interesting in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul was talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how that important. And that is a scripture about doctrine, about what Jesus has done for us and how our mortal bodies are going to be raised into immortality. And then in the middle of that, in 1 Corinthians 15, 33, it says, "Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals." I just thought, how does that come into here? And the reason he said it is, it doesn't matter if you have the right beliefs if you hang out with the wrong people. If they are beginning to influence you and they will begin to take your faith away. In fact, we say around here as a church that the church is the place to be. It's the place to believe. You've got to know your beliefs and take in God's word. And ultimately, we are becoming more like Christ, hopefully, who we become. And I would add this. The difference between what you believe and what you ultimately become is who you belong to. And you belong in community with the church of Christ. There's a new movie coming out, and I'm not recommending the movie necessarily. I've heard good reviews. It's called Only the Brave, about the hotshot firefighters. But I like what they have on their poster. It says this. "It's not what stands in front of you, it's who stands beside you." So there's the things that stand in front of us may vary, but who are you standing with? See, strong people stand up for themselves, but stronger people stand up for others. And the words we read today, as I've mentioned already, are Paul's last recorded words, and it's all about relationship. Now, before he gets to the relationship, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I just want to read this to you. The call to Christ is demanding. It will be both strengthened and made more difficult by the people in your life. Did you hear that? Both come together. No matter what happens in those relationships, God will always be faithful. Paul wrote in this passage, "When everyone deserted me, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." But he is the one we should always stand with, the one who will always stand with you, and the one who calls you to stand with others. Romans 12, 4 and 5 is one of the passages of Scripture where it says that God placed us in the body just as He desired. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you belong to the body of Christ. But God didn't save us so we could just be individual worshipers. God's desire is to save us and place us in the family of God, the church, so that we could have become a Christ-exalting community that would bring glory to Him. Jesus said it this way in John 13:35, "The world will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another." 1 John 3:16 says, just as God gave His Son for us, we ought to be willing to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And so as He begins this last chapter, by the way, the passage right, the words, 2 Corinthians 3:16, I believe it is, talk about Timothy being a workman who needs not to be ashamed, who's properly equipped, accurately handling the word of truth. And so He tells him to stand out. We've been there. Have your core beliefs. I urge you, Timothy, to preach the word of God. Then He tells him, Timothy, I want you to stand up. I want you to have courage, and you're going to need that courage because you're going to have to be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. And you're going to have to correct. You're going to have to rebuke. You're going to have to encourage your people with good teaching. He says, be the standard bearer, Timothy, for the people, the church. And then He goes, you're going to have strong character. And you get that character when you stand out for the right truths and stand up with the right courage over time. And you have that endurance. It begins to build character in your life. And look what He says here. It's in your notes. For the time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. You think this is applicable to today? They will follow their own desires, and they'll look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep your clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work hard at telling others and fully carry out the ministry that God has given to you. And then He says, I'm ready to give my life. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've run the race. And God has laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And He'll give it to me, but not only to me, but to everyone who loves His appearing. And then He says in verse 9, you think He'd finish right there. I mean, that's a good sign off right there. Everyone that loves His appearing. But then Paul recognizes his need for relationship. And he says, Timothy, get here as soon as you can. I need you, Timothy. I need you in my life. I'm ready to see Jesus, but come to me as soon as you can. So let's walk down through this, what I called a kind of a choppy passage of Scripture. And let me just point out some things that Paul is telling Timothy. As you are committed to standing with God's people, the church, you need to be aware and you need to have your eyes open about what's going to go on in those relationships, because it's going to be demanding and it's going to be difficult. And you're going to have to know that God is standing with you if you are going to stand with the church. I want you to hear that. It's not easy standing. The church is full of fallen people, imperfect people. And you're going to see all sorts of stuff, Timothy, but you have to know that the grace of God is standing with you so that you can meet the demands and the difficulties of living life in relationship and show the world how love really works. So here's what he says. Timothy, I want you to stand with God by standing with others, even though they may let you down. Now, let me know. I'm going to go through 5 illustrations that Paul speaks in. And this first part may seem like a downer. It does get better, okay? We'll get to the building people up. But right now, he is just letting Timothy know, this is kind of what your pastor tries to do in premarital counseling, you know? Go into marriage with your eyes wide open. And then as you get into marriage, have your eyes half shut. Because, you know, the love of the I do's and I want you and don't you want me and all that stuff begin the struggles of life and finances and difficulties and the physical ailments are demanding and they are difficult. and yet they are worthwhile, and they call you to be someone that you are not yet. They help you to become more like Christ. And it gives us five examples of how relationships in serving the Lord are difficult and demanding. And I just want to stress, these are Paul's last recorded words, and they're all about these type of relationships. He's saying, Timothy, as you're standing up, just understand that some people will walk away from truth. Now, you're going to have culture you're going to have to go against, and you're going to have all the cultural shifts that are going on, and people aren't going to do it, but I just want you to know that some people that you have invested in, some people you've poured your life into, all of a sudden are going to walk, they're going to compromise their faith, or they're going to fall into complacency once they seemed burning red hot for God and passionate. And this, it's like Demas. Demas has deserted me because he loved the things of this life, or as the NIV says, loved the things of this world, and he's gone to Thessalonica. Now, I don't know what the significance is about Thessalonica for Demas, but the fact is, and the pain is, and the wound is here, that Demas is gone. Somehow he didn't hang on to that faith. And Demas was an important co-worker with Paul. It tells us, for example, in Colossians 4:14, Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings, and so does Demas. Demas is someone who had got some ink print in Paul's letter to the Colossian church. He mentions him again in Philemon 23 and 24. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. So does Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. And Paul says, my co-workers. So this is someone that Paul had discipled. And somewhere along the line, Demas lost the battle of loves. We don't know if it was a woman. We don't know if it was for finances. We don't know if it was some type of substance abuse. We don't know what it was, but he started loving something more than he loved Jesus. And Timothy, he's gone. And understand, you're going to pour your life into people, and you're going to be encouraged by their people. They're going to be working with you. And understand, part of the ache of your heart in standing with others is some aren't going to last. It hurts. He's gone. And it had to be painful for Paul to write these words at the end of his life. But he goes on. He goes, Timothy, understand more than that, some people will work against you. And again, he says, Alexander the metal worker did me great harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Now again, we kind of make the connection that this Alexander is probably the same Alexander that Paul mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And that's verses 18 and 20. I have it up on the screen here, but if you want to write that down, it's 1 Timothy 1, 18 to 20. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Remember last week we talked, the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. May my words help you, Timothy, fight well in the Lord's battles. Cling to your faith, saying stand firm in Christ and keep your conscience clear, for some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. And so here's someone who once believed, that he's going to tell us about, that now has suffered shipwreck in their faith. Hymenaeus and Alexander are two examples. And I threw them out and handed them over to Satan so they might learn not to blaspheme God. I don't know what happened to Alexander, but somewhere along the line, he got into some error and he started preaching against the message that Paul was preaching. And Paul said, I had to come against him hard. And Paul says here in 2 Timothy 4, he has greatly opposed our message. And he's going to come after you and people like him. Error came in, he rejected the truth, and he blasphemed God. And understand that as you stand with the church, there are going to be people that walk away. And there are going to be people that work against you. But Timothy, stand with people. God sent his son for people like Demas and Alexander. And I'm sending you to them as well. You continue to be a testimony of my grace to them. He goes on and he goes, some people will wound you deeply. I get this from 1 Timothy 4:16. See, Paul had two trials in Rome. And by the way, he's writing 2 Timothy, facing his execution under Rome. And he had a earlier defense. And he goes, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. Now, we know from the text, as we read in Luke, in verse 11, for example, chapter 4, it says, only Luke is with me. So the first thing he asks is, where was Luke? And I don't want to malign Luke. Maybe he was out on a trip somewhere, or maybe he was sick. But it also mentions in verse 21 some other people. There was Linus, and there was Claudia, and Eubulus, and the other brothers and sisters. And where were they when Paul made his first defense? It's not that Paul just says, I was alone. He says, they deserted me. And it was not unlike Jesus, who had all his disciples desert him, even when they said, although everyone denies you, I will stand with you, is what Peter said. And yet, he didn't stand for him. And it hurts. It hurts when you're going through a secret struggle and other people don't catch on. You have a death of a loved one and you don't get a card, you don't get a phone call, nobody stops by. Don't they know? Don't they see? And I think a good thing that has helped me in this is, maybe you guys are like this, you're probably not. Do you ever intend to do things you don't get done and contacting people you don't get to get done? You know, and I have a tendency in life, I think most people do, we judge other people by their actions and we judge ourselves by our intentions. And sometimes we assume that people intended to ignore us, or maybe they really don't know what to say or who to say. One of the things when someone expresses a loss, a lot of times it's, nobody talks about them anymore. And they're still part of my life. And there's a wound that you carry around. And understand, if you're going to be involved with people, you're going to be wounded. Because not everyone's going to live up to your expectations. In fact, I would go this far. Not everyone can live up to your expectations. And let me help you with that one. Do you live up to your own expectations of yourself? Not everyone's going to do it. Now, sometimes we need to address, we need to work through those wounds and things. But listen, I think this is true. Every moment of unexpected silence from a friend, every verbal blow from an enemy wounds the spirit. And ministry, working for Jesus, is relationally hard. It's difficult. On a more lighter note, it says ministry would be easy if it wasn't for people. But then again, it wouldn't be ministry, would it? And Paul was telling his son of the faith, you've got the right doctrine. You've got the word of God. You're going to be thoroughly equipped to do everything God has called you to do, but it's got to be lived out in relationship. And expectations won't be met. I think here's what he's telling Timothy. Be careful that your expectations of others don't become premeditated resentments. God is the only one who will never let you down. And then there's going to be some situations, Timothy, that you just wonder why. I get this as I look at this man's name, Trophimus. I don't know who he is, but Paul had to leave him sick in Miletus. And there will be times when you're serving God and you won't be able to make sense of the circumstances you find yourself in. You've got a partner in ministry, someone that came alongside of you, and all of a sudden they have a physical ailment. They get sick. They have cancer. They have a stroke. They have something that limits them from being able to invest and to spend in your life. It might be a mom or a dad in a nursing home, or it might be a son or a daughter that gets sick. And you kind of look up to heaven and you sigh. And you say, why, God? I could use them. They could be with me. We were a team. I could use them now. I wonder, I think at times when we feel all alone, those times really seem to echo into our heart's chamber. I wonder when everyone deserted him, Paul, if he ever wondered, maybe Trophimus, if God would have healed him. And see, Paul had such a healing ministry. At one point, people brought their handkerchiefs and Paul prayed over them and he laid them on people and they got healed. And I'm sure that he prayed for Trophimus. You know, Epaphras later, we find out, almost died. And we find out that Timothy was told to take a little wine for a stomach ailment. Why, God? Why do you heal some people and why not others? And those situations just make you wonder why. And it's going to happen because sometimes physical ailments change our relationships and how we communicate with each other. And then the fifth one here, he goes, sometimes you're going to have to focus on a greater win for the kingdom. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. I sent Tychius to Ephesus. And when you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. And Erastus stayed in Corinth. These were all people that Paul had poured his life into. And instead of keeping them around him, making sure that Paul had his group of people, he continued to send them out because he wanted a greater win for the kingdom. He wanted the churches in these places to grow and to prosper and learn. And listen, it takes a selfless person to send people that could help you to go minister to others. But it still hurts and it's still painful. You have a life connection class and you love each other and you spend time together and you have time, and yet someone feels like, you know, I think maybe I want to start a new life connection class. I feel like that's what God calling to me. And there's an ache. I don't want to lose what we've worked so hard to have, and yet we got to reach more people. And as the church grows and you don't get to know everybody, and you have two services, and you do different things at different times, and it's hard because the very thing that you're striving for, this closeness, you are continually called to send out. But see, this is the heart of our God. Jesus himself in Philippians chapter 2 didn't look at all the things that he had and considered equality with God as something to be hung on to, and yet he emptied himself. And he obeyed the Father, and he came to the earth, and he took on the form of a servant. And he became obedient to the Father, even to the point of death. Or maybe it's a brother or sister who moves away and leaves a void in your life. And it's hard. And don't overlook verse 13. Last words, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus. He wanted that cloak because winter was coming, and he was in prison. Sometimes seasonal changes make the ministry difficult. There's sometimes, and we see this phenomenon coming up into the winter, sometimes the cold and the darker days and so forth just really bring people, the Thanksgiving times and the Christmas times bring a darkness within it because people ache for what they don't have or what they once had that they don't have anymore. There's some seasonal times where you might look at the loss of a loved one and you remember that time. There are times in which it is difficult, but some situations will force you to focus on a greater win because people in situations are going to let you down. And Timothy, you need to be aware of it. Some are going to walk away. Some will intentionally work against you. Some, maybe intentionally or not intentionally, will wound you. And some, you'll just wonder why. Can't see God's hand in it. And that are the times you're going to have to focus and you're standing firm. For when? Because you're going to stand with the people of God. And then Paul tells Timothy in relationships, stand with God by standing with others and intentionally build people up. You know, last Sunday, I was getting up to preach, and I reached over to grab my clicker, and I felt my back go out. And I was glad that it happened before my birthday, so that I could say, well, it's not my age, okay? And, you know, when your body hurts, you begin saying, what did I do, and what do I need to do? When your physical body hurts, what do I do? So I've been down this route before. Got off my back. I knew I was going to probably need a muscle relaxer. I was going to need prayer. Again, by the way, it's kind of like when I broke my foot and made the basket. I want people to know I made the basket before my foot was broken. I just want you to know, in case anybody's concerned, I didn't shortchange anybody in the second service. They got the full load, okay? But anyway, so you go to the doctor, you get some muscle relaxer, you get some steroid, you get all that stuff. You wait till the inflammation goes down, you go to the chiropractor. Listen, when you're wounded, when you're hurting, when your body is aching, you want relief. Listen, make no mistake, the church is called the body of Christ. And when you're hurting, here's what you need to do. What did I do wrong, perhaps? What was the cause of this? And how do I get relief? How do I get fixed? Where is healing going to come? And sometimes healing comes over a long period of time, much longer than what we anticipated. So Paul is saying, Timothy, you're going to have the rigors of relationships, demanding and difficulty, but I'm telling you, you need to go back to what is your core, and you need to go back and intentionally build other people up. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:10 to 11. Christ died for us so that we may live, what? Together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, just as you, in fact, are already doing. See, strong people, courageous people stand up for themselves, but stronger and spirit-filled people stand up for others. And it strikes me again that the final words of Paul on earth, he doesn't talk about his accomplishments and achievements. He tells Timothy, just be like me. You know, Paul could have written a lot of things. He could have written his obituary here and recounted all the churches he had planted and hardships he endured. He could have reminded Timothy once again about how he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews and who he was taught under. And he had all of the Jewish training, and he could have gone back to his personal testimony. He could have talked about in 2 Corinthians 4 like he did, we were hard-pressed on every side, not crushed, crushed but not perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted and not abandoned, struck down and not destroyed, carrying around in his body the pains of Christ. He could have said like he did in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and you look at this, an incredible resume of Paul. I've worked harder, I've been put in prison more, I've been whipped more times without number, faced death again and again, 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea, I've traveled on many journeys, I have faced danger from rivers and robbers, I have faced danger from my own people as Jews as well as Gentiles, I have faced the dangers in the cities and the deserts and on the seas. I have faced danger for men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. And I read that and I say, how was your week? How's your life? Paul could have gone through recounting all of that, but he says, Timothy, here's what really matters. That you invest yourself in God's activity on earth, and that is in the church. Focus on making disciples. Build up the body of Christ. Invest in that which is truly life. Because here are some things, Timothy, you need to be aware of. Building people up brings glory to God. And if you want to bring glory to God, As it says in Isaiah 43, we are created for His glory. You are going to be a person that focuses on building people up. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Listen, our world needs the church more than ever. Our national dialogue really vexes me in my spirit. The name calling, the resistance, all the pain here. Now, I want to be able so much to look at my young children and to say, that's a leader, be like that. Do you know who those leaders are? They're in the church that I point them to. Listen, this world is not going to change by us shouting at the darkness. It's going to be by living out our love and our faith in Christ on a regular basis. Paul prays for the church. He says, I pray that God out of His glorious, this is Ephesians 3, by the way, I pray that His glorious, unlimited resources, He would empower you with inner strength through His Spirit, that Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and to keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep God's love is. Now, this is for the church, the community. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all fullness of life and power that comes from God. Here it is. Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him and the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. In order for us to build people up and bring glory to God, here's what we need to do. We need to protect our spirit. Protect your spirit. Here's what Paul says to Timothy. The Lord be with your spirit. So let me ask you, here's what I wrote down for me. What is with your spirit today? Is there anger? Is there bitterness? Is there resentment? Or is there love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness? You see, when people walk away, work against, wound, or we have the whys, or we have to say goodbye to those things that we love the most, it can affect our spirit. It can affect your drive for the things of God and your commitment to people. Because here's what we do when we get wounded. We withdraw. And God says, I want you to continue to present yourself to me and to be vulnerable for me. Ephesians 4:30 teaches us a lot. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So the question is how do you grieve the Spirit? Well, I think the next verses on talk about it. It says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And just a few verses earlier, it tells us how that can happen. We can't do that in and of itself. It says in verse 23, instead, let the Spirit of God renew your thoughts and your attitudes. So if you're going to bring glory to God, you're going to build people up, and you're going to do that in the strength that God's provided, and you've got to protect your own spirit. Because when you're vulnerable, you can get hurt. Building up also means affirming the value and the contribution of each person. I get this from passages like verse 19 to 21. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth. I left Trophimus is sick in Miletus. Do your best to get me here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. Write it down, and then I'll talk about it. I just said, in here, you service your friendships. I had a friend several years ago that used to call me on a fairly frequent basis, you know, every so often, and he would say, David, I don't want anything. I'm just servicing my friendship. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you know, you take your car in, you get the oil changed every 3,000 miles or so. I just want to service our friendship. And I thought, what a great idea. Just to to say, hey, I just want to connect with you. What's going on in your life? How can I pray for you? Let me service. Don't wait until there's a need or a crisis. In fact, the scripture tells us to encourage each other on a day-to-day basis. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. In other words, stand firm. But God can be trusted to keep his promise. God's going to stand with you. Now, let us think of the ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And if you think that the day of the Lord is getting anywhere closer, you should be thinking that you should have even a higher intensity of commitment to Christ and the church. Look what it says in Colossians 4, 7 and 9. I don't have it in your notes, I don't think, but Tychius will give a full report about how I'm getting along. He is a beloved brother and faithful helper who serves with me in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we're doing and to encourage you. I am also sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. He and Tychius will tell you everything that's happening here. So Paul was servicing these friendships as he's writing the church of Colossae, and he goes, you guys want to know what's going on? You've been valuable partners. Next month, we're going to have missionaries. Hard Choices will be here, and Rosvan and Alyssa Savu will be here telling us about their ministry in Romania, and Rick and Clara West are planning to be with us, and we're going to hear what's going on in their life and how you've partnered with it, and we'll know better how to pray for them as they do that. But as we talk about servicing our friendships, listen, I just want to say again, thank you guys for all you know, the cards and the monetary gift you gave the pastors for Pastor Appreciation Month. That's just wonderful. But I want to encourage you to think of two or three or four people this week in the church that you're just going to service the friendship. You're going to write a note. You're going to give a call. You're going to say, hey, can we get together for coffee? Let's just do life together. Let's catch up. You know, your life's probably like mine. You always mean to get together and you don't. Set a date. I have some times. Get your calendar out. Let's just spend some time together and do life together. And affirm the value and contribution of each person. Next, building up people means I bring the presence of Christ into every situation. Paul says, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry. At my first defense, no one supported me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against me. Against them, rather. Mark, real quick story. If you read in the book of Acts, you see that Mark was on Paul's first missionary journey. Barnabas and Paul were a dynamic duo doing great things for the Lord. They took John Mark with them. Mark wimped out. And he went back to Jerusalem. And in the second missionary journey, Mark was wanting to go with Paul again and said, no, you're not going with me. You wimped out. These are my words, not Paul's, okay? And Barnabas said, we need to take John Mark. And there got to be such a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas that Paul ended up taking Silas and Barnabas went and met with Mark. Kind of like Barnabas met with Paul earlier in strengthen him. Barnabas is the son of encouragement. Listen, now later in life, Paul's saying, bring Mark with you. Whatever wounds that were had in that relationship, whatever disagreements they had together, they somehow worked it out. And Paul says, Mark has been profitable to my ministry, and I want him here. And here's what Paul said. And when everyone deserted him, it's like the heart of Christ who said, by the way, I thought I had this in your notes. Maybe it's right here. By the way, let's just write that down. Grace your relationships. Grace your relationships. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. And what I mean by that, there it is. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Paul had received that by faith. But you know, Paul didn't just receive that prayer of Jesus on his behalf. Remember that the first martyr was Stephen, and he was stoned, and the people, when he was stoned, taken outside the city and was stoned, they laid their garments, the stoners did, at the feet of a young man named Saul, who was Paul. You know what the last words that Paul, who was then Saul, heard Stephen pray? And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell to his knees and cried out while he's being stoned, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Wow. I believe Paul had an encounter with Jesus Christ because God answered this prayer of Stephen. And I believe that Paul was able to pray this prayer, "May it not be held against those who let me down," because someone had stood with him when he didn't deserve it. Grace your relationships. Above all, have a fervent and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. And lastly, building up people means I admit my need and humbly accept help from others, or receive help from others. "When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, and especially the parchments." You know, some of you could say, "Yeah, I'm going to build people up. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to invest, and I'm going to stay busy in helping other people." But here's the caution that Paul tells us. Sometimes our efforts in helping other people disguise the own wounds that are deep within our own heart. And what I am impressed with Paul is he's writing Timothy, telling him about all the rigors of relationships, and he says, "I have a need too, Timothy. Winter's coming. I'm an older man. The fat doesn't keep me as insulated as it used to. I need the coat that I left with Carpus." And then here's what I love about Paul. The guy who said, "I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith," said, "And bring the books, and especially the parchments." Paul was still, he was not going to waste a minute of his life not taking in the Word of God into his life. He said, "When Christ, finally, I meet him, I am going to be studying, readying for one more battle." The last fill in the blank here is stand with your church. I started to have it, stand with the church. But if you stand with your church, you're standing with the church. And I want to make this personal to you. Listen, if you get involved in the life of church, you're going to be hurt. It's going to be difficult. Your pastor's imperfect. People are going to let you down. People are going to say things that are taken the wrong way or said the wrong way. Now, people aren't going to live up to expectations. But listen, this is part of God helping you become who God has called you to be. Who you stand with will greatly determine the difference. Where you belong will greatly determine the difference between what you say you believe and what you ultimately become. And here's what Paul said. "The Lord stood with me and gave me strength so I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from certain death. And yes, the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen." And so, Father, we come to the end of this word, and we pray God's word.